Grizzfan Podcast, and that was Laney Lou and the Bird Dogs playing us in. I'm Luke.
And I'm Mike.
And we got some big news, Mike.
We have a sponsor. I don't know how that happened.
We're freaking sponsored, Mike.
We've arrived a lot quicker than all you doubters out there thought we would. We've arrived.
We're here, and we are proud to be brought to you by the Hotel Finland in the great city of Butte.
Butte, America.
America.
Finland, Hotel Finland, F-I-N-L-E-N, Finland. It's a great hotel. It's the middle of historic Butte. I've been there a ton. You know, friends of the pod know I'm a Butte guy.
You summer in Butte?
You know, I summer in Butte, I winter in Butte.
I love Butte. There's a lot of reasons to go to Butte. They've got amazing mountain biking. They've got awesome hiking. I think it is a wonderful place to go, and if you're there, stay at the Hotel Finland.
Yeah, you know, it's rooms starting at $80. You can get a suite for about $100. There's a little travel lodge next to it, or connected to it that's part of it. I've been to numerous Butte weddings there that have been events to remember forever. It's a cool place.
What I like about the Finland is that it's following the trends in Uptown Butte. The owners are making major improvements and making this historic building feel authentic and revitalizing it. It's not like one of those boring chain hotels you can find on the interstate, ones that don't feel like Butte. This one has that historic majesty, the Finland.
Yep, it's great. Signs on top of the building, way up high. You can see it at night. It's awesome. Check it out.
So go to finland.com, F-I-N-L-E-N.com. All right, let's get on with the show.
Hey, how did we do for our first sponsor read?
Pretty darn good.
You know,
after I edit out the part where I messed up.
We have no script, so we're just doing this by the seat of our pants. But you know what? Nate and Rory, when you read that on your podcast, it's not authentic because you guys haven't been there. I've been there.
Mike's been there. Checkmate.
That's probably a good time to bring up that we've got a little competition going with the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, that other podcast. Let's not even mention their
name. Now, are you going to be a regular contributor on that podcast this year?
No.
Okay, no. I wasn't sure. So this is a spinoff. We're our own thing now.
We're our own thing.
All right.
Jets and the Sharks situation.
So we are going to compete for who gets more downloads throughout the season. And I'm really expecting Grizz fans to pull through for us here. Rory controls the email list, so God only knows if ours is going to get blasted out like theirs are. But do us a favor and download it on every device you have.
Everyone. Even pick up your kid's device, download it on that too.
You know, we're wholesome for the kids. It'll be a good learning experience.
Hell yeah.
All right.
So let's talk about the Grizz.
All right. So week one, pumped football season's here. The FCS kickoff was last weekend. Wasn't teams that I really am not familiar with, but that's fine. Week one of FCS is here. Normally we'd be reviewing last week at this point in time, but there's really not much to review.
So looking forward, we are playing the University of Northern Iowa.
Yeah, we've played Northern Iowa 7 times before. We're 7-0 against them. Let's talk a little bit about the end of Grizz fall camp, you know, summer.
Okay, so we're going to go back. My bad. We'll go back first.
The last pod we had, we were talking about players coming in. We picked the Big Sky, which was a lot of fun. I don't know that our thoughts have changed on that at all, frankly. The only real major thing that's happened since then was Murray at Montana State became academically ineligible, poor guy.
Mm.
I don't think that changes MSU's chances. In fact, it might be better.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Frankly, study on the academics. You weren't going pro.
Oh, God. I got nothing. So, Grizz had fall camp. In typical Bobby Houck fashion, we learned nothing in the news about how practice went, about depth charts, about injuries, about anything. And you know the crazy thing is, the players, even the ones who've been here for a long time, are now answering questions like Bobby Hauck with no information whatsoever in them.
I love it. If I was a coach, that's the way I'd want it to be, right?
Yeah. How do the quarterbacks look? Oh, they throw good balls. How are the DBs? Well, you know, they got work to do. Yeah. No real answer.
Yeah. I think that's good news. I think that's good news for the Grizz because you don't want any information getting out into the enemy's hands. And even reporters who are just being, you know, transparent and doing their jobs, they could leak out tidbits that might help the opponent on game day.
Yeah, this is probably as good a time as any to point out that we are not reporters. We are not members of the media. If this podcast ever screws up my QB club membership, you guys are all fucked because I'm leaving the pod.
We are fucked. Yeah. I can't do this alone.
So if I learned anything, I won't divulge it, but I'll tell you what, I didn't learn anything. I can't remember a season that the Grizz have been going into where I've had less of an idea of what they're going to be. I mean, I think when Coach Stitt was hired 3 years ago, there was the unknown there too, but I think we were all confident we're going to be high-octane offense, it's going to be exciting, and let's see what happens. With Hauck, I mean, long-term, I'm pretty confident I know what we're going to be. You know, we're going to return to being a dominant physical football team that, you know, owns the trenches and has great offensive linemen. But what are we going to be this year, Luke? No clue.
Well, and it seems to me that when you look at the roster and the names and the positions, they shook everything up. We've got receivers playing the end. We've got people who were recruited as linebackers, moved, you know, to D-line, now playing O-line. Like, there's been so much movement that I don't know how any of these players are going to now plug and play.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And one of the big things that happened right before fall camp started is that Justin Calhoun's the former wide receiver, now a cornerback. Jeremy Calhoun was the running back, or do I have those guys mixed up? Anyway, Calhoun, who used to be a wide receiver, switched to DB. And it's not a completely foreign position to him because he played defensive back in high school. Luke is not convinced that that's going to make him our number one corner.
There's a difference between being a very good high school cornerback and defending receivers. We put receivers in the NFL. In fact, we have a receiver in this conference that'll probably go to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to happen every year, you know, not from UM lately, but from other schools. But playing quarterback is all about the hips. It's kind of like what the girls used to say about you in college. It's all about the hips.
It's funny, because I'm in the midst of a Madden football league with you. And our buddy Jason keeps telling me the secret to knowing when to throw the ball is you got to stare at the DB's hips.
Oh, man.
I keep throwing picks.
I will tell you guys that the Madden topic is probably for a topic for another day, but Luke and I are probably two of the last guys on earth you should come to for advice on how to play all Madden.
And absolutely the last guys on the earth for advice on how to play cornerback.
Oh, God. Or any position. Things are not going well there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
So he's now playing cornerback, and he may be our best cornerback?
I definitely think he's going to be a starter. So one thing, you know, with Bobby's taking full advantage of him being new, so UM has not released a depth chart. We're recording this on Tuesday. Usually, if a team was going to release a depth chart, it'd be out by now. We've released nothing. Anecdotally, I mean, practices were open to the public, and I mean, he was definitely, you know, playing with the ones. And I think that one of our starting cornerbacks is going to be Calhoun, and I'm excited about it. I think he's going to be good.
When I look at our cornerbacks, I'm just going to read you the list: Justin Calhoun, Kobe Eaton, former receiver, Darian Nash,
former receiver,
Lewis Cowens, who actually played in the backfield last year, or in the secondary last year, Gavin Crow, Josh Egbo, Caden Hemphill. None of these people have one start at cornerback.
No, Nash played a little bit. I mean, Nash played cornerback last year, and as the year went on, he kind of leapfrogged Cowens, and he was the number three guy. I'm actually, even before Calhoun switched, I've been excited about Nash. The thing about Nash, and maybe Calhoun, we don't know, is like, I think they've got really great potential, but it sure would be nice to have a veteran guy be the number one guy, and we don't have that. So those guys are going to have to figure it out.
I'm pretty excited about Josh Egbo. I think he's super athletic. I've kind of heard from some people around campus that he's very athletic. He's a quick learner. I saw that he was an academic All Big Sky selection, so I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. He was awarded the Naisby Reinhardt Endowment Scholarship. So I think that's super athletic, high intelligence. I look at him to make a leap this year.
We'll see what happens. I if I had to guess, I think we'll see Calhoun and Nash out there to begin with. I think Cowens is one of the number twos. I kind of think Crow's probably the other number two, but we'll see what happens. We're not going to go position by position with this, but this is an interesting conversation because what I really think is that anything could happen with the cornerbacks because no one's got experience. So if somebody happens to see the field and plays well, they could leapfrog everybody. And it just depends on how they react. But it'd be interesting to watch that. Okay. For sure. You mentioned a name, Jalen Hemphill.
Yep. Kadeem.
Kadeem Hemphill, sorry. Transfer from
Santa Rosa Junior College.
And he played for San Jose State, I think, before that. I think.
That's right.
He's a twin. And I think his brother may be going to join the Cheek team at some point, but hasn't yet.
Okay. Something to look forward to.
Yeah. You know, our O-line, I think when we went into spring, we had concern about safety and offensive line and quarterback is probably our three biggest concerns. I think the coaches really filled the safety spot to a point that it's, I think it's pretty deep. And we can talk about that. Corner, you know, they've got bodies, it's young, we'll see. O-line is really young. And I actually think that the whatever combination of that ends up being the starting unit, it's going to be pretty young. But they're going to have guys that have been with Germer for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to surprise people. I think that if we have any injuries on the O-line, we're in trouble because we're not very deep. To that note, Thane Jackson retired during camp, which was a bummer.
Bummer
there. And Terran Moses, who I was kind of excited about, that really fast running back from Oklahoma, had to leave the team and head back home, it sounds like. So
there's a chance that Colton Kintz could see some time this year. And he's a Missoula kid.
I think Colton Kintz might start.
I am so happy for that guy. How cool would it be to start for the Grizz in the town that you grew up?
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting is I think I read something or his high school coach may have been on the radio, and I'm not sure that he even played football all 4 years of high school. So I think that what you're getting with him is a guy that has just been learning and he's still taking advantage of it. And I know they were really happy with him in spring, and he kind of, because Thane Jackson was injured and he was playing, and I think he was one of the more impressive guys. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, you go up against live competition and anything can happen, but I hope he plays well because that'd be a great story.
Now I think the question that needs to be answered, quarterback, what do you think? Do we have a quarterback that can make throws in the Big Sky Conference?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we do. Do we have a quarterback who I think is going to be on an all-conference team? I'm not sure. I think we have to see how Snead does. I think Snead's got the potential. I mean, he had a good year at his junior college last year. UNLV, it's hard to judge. He was a freshman. They're a bad team. You know, it's hard to judge that. I think the one big factor he's got going for him is he's fast and he can roll out. So if our O-line is kind of weak, you know, he can roll out and maybe throw on the run a little bit. Skyline Sports had an article about him this week that said he has a chance to like set the UM QB rushing records because, I mean, I think what they're basically saying is he's going to run a lot. Cam Humphreys, the junior college transfer via Boise State, I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he's fall camp was his first, you know, shot with the coaches and stuff like that. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if in classic Bobby fashion for everybody who was around the last time, that we don't see some sort of QB rotation. I think Snead will get more snaps, but I bet you we see them both.
Do you think it's hard to know for sure what you have when they're practicing against people who are just learning the cornerback position?
I definitely do think it's hard to tell. You know, and you figure out the defense, you figure out your guys, and then it's the same guys you're throwing against every day. So it's like, who knows? Live competition against you and I, that's usually a pretty good defense. I mean, we'll probably learn about a lot about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Snead could come out and have a great game. If he struggles, I bet we see Humphrey. I don't think it means anything to either one of them because I bet they both play the next week at Drake too. So see what happens. But I bet Snead's QB1.
And ultimately, this is just one game. It's a non-conference game. I think that Bobby's skill, from what I witnessed the last time he was here, was his ability to develop players. He took a lot of very good Montana athletes and coached them into NFL players. I don't think it's a coincidence we saw so many Montana boys in the NFL. You need the athleticism, but you also need to learn how to play the skill. You need a lot of athleticism to play in the NFL, but you also need the skill, the NFL caliber skill. And Bobby's, I think, very good at teaching those things. So each week, I think this team is going to get better. I think the players are going to get better. And this is a non-conference game. Bobby knows we've got a lot of conference games coming up, and that's when you have to really be ready.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, it's nice. You got to win in the non-conference, too, if you want to make the playoffs. But it's also first game back. I mean, who knows? I will say, to your point, I think Bobby last time proved to be a tremendous developer of talent, more on the defensive side than the offensive side. Although, I mean, obviously, you know, Mariani, I mean, there's definitely exceptions to that. I would say a glaring exception to that, though, is quarterback. I don't think that the Hauk era really developed quarterbacks to their best potential last time. I think that the offensive coaches he has this time, Brent Pease, Tim Rosenbaum, are significant upgrades over our offensive coaching staff the last time around. Both those guys played quarterback in the NFL, so I'm anxious to see how it all works out. I will say that I still think it's a shame that we lost Jensen. I think he would have won the job in fall camp, and I do think there are going to be games where we miss his ability to chuck it down the field. That being said, you know, I had a conversation with a media guy last week, and he pointed out there's a lot more to being the quarterback than just being able to throw the deep ball. And you know, Snead's got a lot of intangibles, and he clearly gets the leadership aspect. You know, like that. The team follows him, so it'll be interesting to watch.
Okay.
Rest of the Big Sky, you know, nothing to really wrap up. I didn't pay attention to anyone's fall camps that much. The only thing of interest is the Anderson kid from Dillon. Appears to have won the Cats starting QB job, which I have two thoughts on, but you go first.
Is that like being the tallest little person?
You know what's interesting to me is I think Troy Anderson is one of those guys that because he played at Dillon, the Cats got him. Much like we got some people to walk on over the years at UM, you know, from these small towns. Like, if they were bigger schools, I think they would have been recruited to a higher caliber. I think that he literally could be an NFL linebacker or an NFL defensive player. I think he could be an all-conference running back. It's interesting to me that he's going to be quarterback. And if he was destined to be the quarterback, they didn't even recruit him as a quarterback. So it's like, I mean, obviously things happen. And sometimes the coaches get there and realize, yeah, you could do this. And maybe they can, but it's going to be real interesting to watch.
I can't imagine how he's going to be a passable Big Sky Conference quarterback. It's a completely different skill set than just running the ball or being a linebacker and running into someone that has the ball. Obviously, the kid's intelligent because you can't really be a dummy and play the linebacker position.
No, he's clearly smart.
Clearly a smart kid. But your ability to make – you have to have an arsenal of throws. And I just don't understand. This seems like a lateral move at best. I'm sure he'll be able to take off and run the ball kind of like Murray.
I wonder, like, I don't know about his arm. Like,
but Murray, it couldn't be worse as far as completion percentage than Murray.
Yep.
But he's not going to be better.
It's what, honestly, what I would say, it's like, and this is not any knock on Anderson, because maybe he turns into an all-league quarterback. Who knows? But what does it say about every other quarterback on their roster that they've recruited, including the transfer from Oregon, who was supposedly amazing, but really hasn't played anywhere, he's gone. I mean, what does it say about all those guys that the guy who played DB and running back last year, they moved him to quarterback. Any quarterback, and he beat everybody, you know?
He just walks into the locker room every day, and it's like that old Nike commercial. It's like, anything you can do, I can do better. He's going to be high jumping for Bozeman. He'll be on their rodeo team, too. I guarantee it. He's from Dillon. He can do it.
Man, who knows? Who knows? It's going to be interesting to watch.
I like Troy Andersen. I'm on the record of saying I almost bought a Troy Andersen jersey. But if he pulls off the QB, he might be my favorite Montana player.
That's fair. Like, I think that nobody should come away from this thinking that Luke and Mike are not Troy Andersen fans, because we definitely are. And that says it's a lot for me to come out and say I like a Cat player, but I do. I mean, it would be awesome if he becomes this great QB and it's a success story, but it's like, man, what does that say about Choked? I mean, there are so many questions there. We should start another pod that's what's wrong with the Bobcats this week, and we can talk all about that. But anyway, there we go.
So, Mike, let's talk about the game this week, Saturday.
Northern Iowa Panthers, University of Montana Grizzlies.
Saturday night,
under the lights. I tweeted at Kent Haslam last spring that all of these non-conference games should be at night because I'm sick of baking in the sun. And at least the first one is, so...
Kent listens.
You know, Kent listened, but he said, you know, something about people traveling and da-da-da-da. So Drake is going to be in the middle of the afternoon and we're all going to fry and people are going to pass out and fall down the concrete stairs. I'm just trying to save the university liability, that's all.
Looking out for UM.
Yeah. And night games are more fun.
So, what do we know about the Panthers?
Well, they're ranked 13th in probably the most legitimate FCS poll, the Stats FCS poll. UM's ranked 24th in that same poll, which I think is more based on Hauk returning and people kind of giving UM a boost. We'll see what happens. They're 0-7 all-time versus UM. Last time they came to Montana, we steamrolled them 48-10 in the 2011 playoffs. It was one of the more fun games I've been to. You know,
that one was at night.
Yeah, that was a night game. And you know, those close playoff games that have been comebacks have all been really fun too. But their coach is kind of a dick.
Well, but he's a good coach.
Oh, he's a good coach.
He's entering his 17th year. And... 134-67.
Any national championships?
How many did Bobby have?
Well, Bobby got to the national championship game 3 times in 7 years.
My point is, you can be a very good coach and not win a national championship.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair.
And I want to point out that kind of record is very impressive in the conference in which they play. They're a Missouri Valley Conference team. And since I read this, I haven't been keeping track since 1985, but since 1985, the Missouri Valley has an edge on the Big Sky, 55-37.
That's believable. I think a lot of that's the last. I think a lot of that gap is the last 4 or 5 years, if I had to guess. I know that. I think they beat the Big Sky 5 more times last year than we beat them. I think that's right. Northern Iowa, but some of that stuff was back when Missouri Valley wasn't as good of a conference. It was before North Dakota State, and these guys routinely cleaned up and then they routinely peed down their legs. So, you know, you got your story, I got mine.
Listen,
he also
Mark Farley's a dick.
Yeah, he would exchange film for one of the playoff games. He cried about having to come. He was a whiner. One of their guys punched one of our guys in the junk at one of the playoff games. I mean, they're just. You know what? I don't like it.
For coming from the heartland of America, I mean, dirty play, we can't have that out here.
Interestingly enough, you know who I think played for Mark Farley at Northern Iowa? Or maybe it was he coached for him. But Scott Frost, the new Nebraska coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Frost.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting, in my research, I found that Kurt Warner grew up in Cedar Falls.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Which is kind of special.
And played for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there is that.
So this team is a good team, and they're returning a good quarterback. Dunn? Is that how you say his name?
Eli Dunn.
Eli Dunn. Yeah. So he passed for 2,700 yards last year, 26 touchdowns. He threw for over 62% completion rating. And they went to the second round of the FCS playoffs. So he knows how to win.
The interesting thing, and this is all anecdotal, but I was kind of glancing through their schedule last year and road and home and stuff like that. And to me, it looks like the tougher the road venue, the worse he played.
Well, that goes for everybody.
Well, boo-hoo. I'm just saying. What do we have?
Why are you making me defend these people?
that's your problem, Luke, not mine. So I think one of the big keys to the game is if they could rattle them early, I think blitz them a little bit. I know that's a ballsy thing to do with our cornerback situation, such as it is. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. Their O-line, I think, is the strength of their team.
Yes.
Hands down. I think that they're a traditional Missouri Valley Football Conference team. They want to run it up the gut. They want to run it down your throat as much as they can. They'll throw when they need to, by virtue of him throwing 26 touchdowns last year. I believe that their top wide receivers are both injured. One of them's gone for the season. I believe I read that. So their top returning pass catcher, I think, is their tight end, Riley Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they had a couple good running backs, although I had heard that maybe the running backs have a little bit of injury concern too, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Riley Moore he was their starter all last season. He caught 38 passes, 494 yards. He's going to be the release outlet, kind of the safety blanket, I think, early on in the game if the Grizz bring a lot of heat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. And frankly, we have no idea what defense the Grizz are going to run. And neither does you and I. I mean, like I said earlier, Hauk hasn't released a depth chart, and nobody knows. I mean, on offense, I'd have to guess that we're going to be closer to last year's offense than people realize. And I don't mean that in like formations, but I mean that more in a little bit more wide open, a little bit more tempo when it calls for that. I think you're going to see them try and run the ball more and run the ball in a different manner. But they don't really know what to expect. Same thing on defense.
On defense, the Panthers are returning Ricky Neal Jr. and Xavier Williams. Ricky is a senior linebacker. Xavier is he's a redshirt freshman defensive back. They're both standouts. Xavier is a second-team preseason Missouri Valley selection. And Ricky Neal is an FCS All-American candidate at linebacker.
Oh, nice.
Those two seem to be the anchors of that defense.
Yeah, I think that I read in Brent Wahlberg's handy UNI scouting report on Egriz.
I love that guy.
Yeah, great work he does there. No charts and graphs, but, you know, whatever. I think he said that that Ricky Neal's their Josh Buss equivalent. So, I think we expect from them what we would expect from any Missouri Valley Football Conference team. Stout defense, run the ball. I think that we may get lucky in that their passing game may struggle a little bit, at least at first, and we need to take advantage of that. What else do we know about them? Not much. That's it.
That's all I know, Mike. I don't know anything.
Let's talk about the Grizz a little bit more. Honestly, I think one of the biggest question marks for the Grizz is Josh Buss going to play and is he healthy? He was hurt. He had surgery last year. He was missed all spring. And then Hauk has been really open about the fact that apparently he re-injured himself after spring ball in some sort of workout. And he hasn't said what. It's going to be interesting to see how healthy he is. Two schools of thought here. One is that Hauk is being completely honest and like, guys, don't get your hopes too much. He is hurt, and I don't want you to think he's going to be the savior because he's hurt, and we're going to play him as much as we can, but we don't know. Or the other school of thought is Hauk is just playing us all Because the weird thing is, Hauk doesn't talk about much in the media, but he's been really open about two things. One is Josh Busk is injured, and to listen to Bobby Hauk, I mean, I don't know if he's more likely to play or if he's dying. and the O-line is going to be terrible. And he's basically said that in his press conference this week. And I find that very interesting because for a guy that doesn't comment on things publicly, those are, you know, those are real direct comments. So is he being just completely honest with us? Probably. But is he screwing with us? There's a chance.
I think he's doing his best to lower the expectations. Grizz Nation, love it or hate it, I love it, has really high expectations for the team.
And some might say unrealistic.
Bobby knows this. And I think to temper some of the excitement that Grizz Nation is feeling, and it is so exciting for Grizz fans right now, to sort of dial in reality, I think he's probably being honest here. I think he's saying, hey, our offensive line is young and inexperienced. Josh Buss is hurt, so if we don't win as many games as you want, which is all of them, there may be some reasons, and this is going to take some time.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good point. So Buss is a big wild card. Thankfully, linebacker is actually one of our better positions, and I think there's some guys who've been waiting their turn, Dante Olsen, a couple others, who I think can play pretty well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. We also don't completely know what our defensive alignment is going to be. You know, in the spring game, they seemed there were different times when there was multiple safeties out there. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Like, we may not see the traditional three linebackers, two quarterbacks, two safeties. We could see something entirely different, you know. And I think that's one of the things Hauk's excited about is nobody knows. We can transfer right into the kind of O-line conversation. They're young. No different way to put it. They're young. I think whatever the final combination of the starting unit is, I have faith that they're going to be fundamentally sound and they're going to be able to get the job done. I think depth is going to be a concern. I think we've got a lot of young guys on there, and I think you're going to see true freshmen in our two-deep offensive line.
It's hard to go a full year without experiencing an injury on the offensive line. People are falling on each other. They hit on every play. I think it's really realistic to think that we can expect one of our starters to lose some time. I mean, all teams kind of have to expect to rely on the depth and versatility of the second team. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah,
next, it's a next man up situation.
Yep. And it's just, you know, it's like, where do we, who's going to be the next man? Interestingly enough, Peyton Stoner, who left the team
before
winter ball. He's back. Like, must have sorted out whatever he needed to sort it out. He must have came to the coach and said, can I walk back on? I mean, he's not, I would be shocked if he's on the two deep to start the season, but I bet you by the end of the season, he's worked his way back into some playing time. I mean, he was a three-star recruit. He's one of Germer's guys. I mean, that's, when we talked about kind of the preview and the coaching staff, one of the big pluses, I think, for the O-line is that their O-line coach didn't change. So all those young guys, like, it's not like they're starting fresh from scratch. Like, Germer knows them. They've been working with them. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by them. And I don't know if that's just my optimism based on feeling like Bobby's crews always seem to make the O-line overachieve when they didn't have the right guys until they got the right guys. But it's going to be interesting to watch.
One thing I think everyone, friend and foe, can agree on is that Bobby pulls some toughness out of the depths of these kids.
Yep.
His teams are always ornery, and you have to be ornery to have a good offensive line. There's no such thing as a really talented but, you know, pleasant offensive lineman. There's no gentleman down there.
I would agree with that 100%. I'm somebody who sometimes thinks that football is, that there are some coaches that are too wrapped up in machoism and that they actually are terrible coaches, but it's just like this rah-rahness. But O-line, like, you have to be macho on the O-line because you are literally lining up directly across from somebody and trying to kick their ass every play. Like, you know, you can't get around that, right? I mean, you can't just be this guy that's like this gentle giant. I mean, you can be nice off the field, but on the field, you got to be able to turn it on.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that prior to Germer, we were missing on O-line for a little while. But we'll see there. Cornerbacks, we've already touched on a little bit earlier in the show. It's another one of those positions. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I've got high hopes for Justin Calhoun. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get an all-conference selection at cornerback. Luke's face, you heard it here. Shocked that I would say that out loud. I'm not saying first team, but I bet you at the end of the year he's on the all-conference list at cornerback.
Okay.
I'll bet you
a Grizz logger.
All right. We're there.
We
shook hands.
I hate myself. I just keep crapping on Grizzlies and making excuses for Panthers.
Who knows?
This is not me.
Any other nuggets or highlights of the Grizz team you want to talk about before we switch to the Big Sky Conference as a whole?
I just think that our most solidified position group are the wide receivers. That should come to a surprise to nobody.
Yeah.
But we return a load of talent and a load of experience there.
You know, I agree with you, and I think that if I had to guess on the when they run out the first time, our starting three wide receivers and our tight end are going to be the same. Keenan Curran, Torre, Louis McGee, and the tight end Bingham. So how they look, though, who knows. After that, I think that they'll rotate a bunch of guys in. We'll see if Sulcer can get the field or not. But there's a lot of good guys. Germer's son actually redshirted last year as a wide receiver. But, he's a recruit this year. Roberts, another Central kid, younger brother of Ben Roberts, who came as a senior a few years back. And I think he'll see some playing time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think that if I had to say who our breakout star, I mean, obviously we're waiting for Kem. But Torre, to me, more and more you sit here and you're like, man, we are lucky to have him. He's going to be a sophomore. I think this guy's going to be the real deal for the next 3 years. And I think that you can credit Stitt for as many scholarships as he used on wide receivers. He should have found some stars, and he has. So it's just a matter of how those guys fit into the new system. But, you know, Mark Mariani went to the NFL from University of Montana in Bobby Houck's system last time. So, you know, there's balls to be caught by good receivers. It's going to be interesting.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's go to the Big Sky Conference.
All right, so the funny thing about the Big Sky Conference is that every year you might as well call week one and week two and even week three sometimes, you know, Murderers Row and Money Bags or, you know, Death Wishes or Money Games or whatever you want to call it.
Welcome to our new segment, Murderers Row and Money Bags.
But, I mean, how many teams are playing up this week? Weber State's at Utah. UC Davis is at San Jose State. Portland State is at Nevada. Northern Arizona is at UTEP. I mean, some of these are tougher games than others, but Idaho is at Fresno State. It's interesting. Some other interesting matchups. Western Illinois, another Missouri Valley football conference team, plays the Cats.
On Thursday.
Thursday night, yep. This pod will probably hit right before that game comes out.
So listen to this instead of watch the Gold Rush game.
Yeah, who cares about the Gold Rush game? Portland State, Nevada. McNeese State is at Northern Colorado. It's interesting because we were supposed to have a home-and-home with McNeese and something happened and it fell through and they'll go to Northern Colorado. Like, what the hell? I mean, I know they'd be getting paid more money to come to play UM, but what do I know? Eastern Washington is playing Central Washington, which is a real bummer. I hate anybody in the conference playing down. I think it's bad for the conference. And especially Eastern got left on the playoff bubble last year. And I know it's a big deal for them. They've got a home game because they usually play money games, but that sucks. You want to walk through the games and pick them?
Yeah, let's start with the Thursday night game. Games.
Okay. Looks like Weber State is at Utah.
I'm going to pick Utah.
Tough one. I'm going to pick Utah, too. And it doesn't mean, like, I'm not pumped about Weber because I think they're one of the better teams in the league, but I'm picking Utah on that one.
Yeah, Weber has the most preseason all-conference players in the Big Sky. So they've got four of them. They're going to be good.
Yep.
Next team, we have UC Davis going to San Jose State. Who do you have in that one?
I'm going to go with San Jose State.
I agree with you there.
Although it could be one of those where it's like, yeah, that's a chance for an upset. But still, I'm going with San Jose.
And for the final unwatchable Thursday night game, it's Montana State plays Western Illinois University.
I'm picking Western Illinois because you're going to see a theme. When in doubt, pick against the Cats.
There's no way the Cats win that.
You think? Well, so far, you and I really don't have that much difference in our picks.
That's why we're friends. Friday, August 31st, Portland State goes to Nevada.
Nevada's going to win that game unless Portland State has some sort of miracle.
Agreed. We also have Western State Colorado University is going to Pocatello to play Idaho State. Idaho State's probably going to win that.
Idaho State will win that, but they better. I mean, Western Colorado, that is something else.
Now getting into the meat and potatoes of the schedule, we've got on Saturday, Central Washington University going to Eastern Washington.
Eastern, yeah.
Then McNeese State University is going to Northern Colorado.
McNeese.
All right. For sure. The University of Northern Alabama is going to go to Cedar City, Utah to play Southern Utah.
I'm going
to
pick Southern Utah in that game.
Agreed. Then we have St. Francis from the state of Illinois.
So, interestingly enough, this is the same St. Francis that we played a couple years ago, but they're no longer FCS. They're transitioning down. So they were FCS when we played them a couple years ago, but now they are not. So okay. We'll pick Sac State in that game, I think.
Sac State's going to win that game. Then we have Idaho is going to Fresno for Fresno State.
Boy, that's interesting. You know, Idaho transitioning from FBS. I'm going to pick Fresno State, but that could be a close one.
I'm going to pick Idaho.
Oh.
I said it on our last pod, but I think Idaho's going to be better than we think.
All right. There's probably our one difference this week.
So we have Northern Arizona going to the University of Texas at El Paso.
You know, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to pick NAU because I feel like they always do this in the beginning of the season, and then they fall flat on their face.
I'm going to go with chalk. I'm going UTEP.
Okay.
Then we have Cal Poly, and they're going to travel to NDSU, playing the Fargo Dome.
Yeah, NDSU is going
to
win that game.
NDSU. All right. So now the game of the week.
I think on this pod, the Grizz game is going to be the game of the week every week. But sure.
The game of the week.
But really, this one is the game of the week. I think it's the only matchup of ranked stats FCS teams in the country.
So game of the week. All eyes on Missoula.
Yeah, how about that? It's going to be a night game. People are going to be paying attention. Grizz have a chance to start the season with a bang and can kind of introduce themselves. So before we get into picking the winners, Luke, what do you think the Grizz need to do to win this game?
I would say that they need to win the... When I think about the stat that I'm going to look for, I'm going to say the time of possession is going to be the most indicative factor. What stat are you looking at?
Luke, the stat that's going to be the most indicative is the final score. If the Grizz score more than the Panthers.
You set me up, you son of a bitch.
I don't really understand how that's that complicated for you. I think time of possession is an interesting one because, you know, we've been conditioned for the last 3 years in the Bob Stitt era. Time of possession doesn't matter, right?
That's true, yeah.
It's like tempo, score points, you know, drive into submission, but time of possession never mattered because we never won it. I think we won it once last year. But given, you know, who Northern Iowa is and who the Missouri Valley Football Conference is as a whole, if we win the time of possession, I'd be shocked if we didn't win the game. Because their game is going to be to try and run the ball, run the clock, keep it away from us, and beat us. So if we win time of possession, that's a good one. So I would agree with you on that. I think that, you know, and all these are kind of like no duh. If we score more than the other team, yeah. I think that if we have more sacks against them than they do against us, we're going to win. I think their receivers are hurt. If we can rattle that quarterback, I think it's going to be a good thing.
That's interesting. Huh. I can buy that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So the spread on the game is Grizz minus 2.5 points. So for non-gamblers out there, you have to take the final score of the game and subtract 2.5 points from the Grizzlies, 2.5 points, and then look at the score.
So if it's the Grizz minus 2.5 rather than Panthers plus 2.5, that means that they're picking the Grizz to win and giving 2.5 points. We need Montana Parlay to explain this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And who knows? He might have a different spread than we do. I think the Grizz are going to win. And I think the Grizz are going to win by more than 3 points.
I think the Grizz are going to win by 10. I think that the Grizz are on their turf. There's going to be a lot of emotion for a lot of different reasons on that field for our Grizz players. For whatever reason, the Panthers don't travel well, especially to Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is going to be a real true Bobby homecoming. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to blow that spread out of the water.
Yeah, I agree. So we're both picking Grizz win. That being said, if the Grizz don't win, fans shouldn't panic. You know, it's a new coach, a new system, you know, trying to break in and completely, you know, we're changing our identity. And, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. If the Grizz do win, fans shouldn't overreact because we have to look no further back than North Dakota State University and Stitt's first game.
That's right.
We beat that team because we had the element of surprise. And then they crushed us in the playoffs. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to remember the playoff moment. I just like to remember my boy Joey Counts running across the end zone.
Your boy Joey Counts. you know, we don't even have to think of the playoffs because they beat North Dakota State and everybody went delirious. Oh, this is going to be the next great big thing. Stitt's going to get them. Da, da, da. And then we lost at home to Cal Poly. That was awful. So no matter what happens, don't overreact. Win or lose, it's game one of the Hauk era 2.0. Don't overreact.
Oh, I'm so excited, Mike.
Yeah, it should be a great game.
And you're gonna be there wearing your maroon. It's a maroon out.
Yeah, wearing my maroon, front row, north end zone.
Awesome. Kickoff at 7.
7 o'clock. Yeah.
All right. Well, go Grizz.
Fight off.